As they're going out, go ahead and pull out your message notes. They look like this. They have three-hole punch in them. But you can go ahead and pull these out. We're going to start our message in just a moment. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 25. If you don't, go ahead and just listen and enjoy the Word of God. We're going to be reading from Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Jesus is speaking here, and he's telling a story to people. It's near the end of Jesus' life, and this is one of the stories he tells them. And it goes like this. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents at once put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We believe, God, that it is your word, that it's alive and that it pierces our soul. And we pray, God, that you would give us a heart that is open to your word. We pray that we would come wanting to grow, wanting to know you better. In your name we pray. Amen. We started a series last week called Beginnings. We've been talking about starting 2009 outright. How do we start off the year right? And what we've been doing is we've been looking at the early church, the first church, and asking how do they start out their life as an early church? And what can we learn from them as a church? Last week, we talked about making God the center of your life. And this week, we're going to talk about making the most of what you've been given, making the most of what God has given you. And it comes from this verse. One of the first things we learned about the first church is this. It's in Acts 2, verse 45 in your outline. And it says this, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. This church saw that God had given them financial resources, and they used them in such a way to help people. Now, money is one resource that God has given you and me. Some of you feel like it hasn't been a lot, but he gives us money. But there's all other kinds of things that God gives us. He gives us talents. He gives us abilities. He gives us time. And in all these things that God has given us, he asks us to use them well, to make the most of them, to serve people. And so we're going to talk about that. And I want to talk about why it's important to ask the question, what has God given me? And why do we need to use them? There's 2 reasons why this is so important. Number one is this. God entrusts you with specific talents and abilities to help people. God trusts you. He entrusts you with specific talents and abilities to help people. Now, this just blows my mind. And it probably should blow yours, too, because God, the God who created all things, says, I trust you enough to give you some things that I want you to use for my purposes. I trust you enough to give you things that I want you to use for my purposes. When I was in junior high, both my parents worked. It was summer vacation, and my dad said, you know, John, your room needs a paint job. I'm going to get you all the supplies. I'll get you the paint, the tarp, the tape, everything. And I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to work. When I get back, I want to see how well you did painting your room. And, you know, I'm a junior hire. I'm like, this is great. So, you know, my sister and I, she was younger. We moved all the furniture. We put the tarp. We had no instruction whatsoever. And we painted the whole room a light gray blue. And we waited for my dad to come back. He came back. And you know what? We actually did a pretty good job. He was really impressed. He's like, good job. And so he said, do you want to do the other two rooms too? I'm like, sure. So we painted our whole upstairs. And I just love that feeling of my dad trusted me with something that was pretty risky. But he trusted me to use it. And there's that feeling of just being entrusted by someone in authority, thinking, wow, they trust me. God is trusting you with certain things, certain talents and certain abilities that he wants you to use for other people. Look in your outline in Matthew 25:14. This is from that story that Jesus just told. It says, for be like a man going away on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. Will you circle that word entrusted in your outline? That God entrusts you with certain things. It's amazing. But he doesn't just give you things just for your own purpose. It's not just, hey, here's a gift. I want you to use it. He wants to give you something so you will help other people around you. He will help you. Ephesians 4:12 says, Christ gave those gifts to prepare God's holy people for what? The work of serving. Go ahead and underline those words. The work of serving. That God is giving you things so you will actually serve people. Here's the crazy thing. God can do whatever he wants. He can make anything happen. But he chooses to work through people like you and me. He says, if I want something done, I'm going to ask one of you to do it for me. And I'm going to give you the resources to do it. So God entrusts us with those kinds of things. You might be thinking everyone in this room has something, some type of gift from God, but not me. And I want to say you're wrong. If you're that person, I'm talking to you right now. God has given you something. Now, there are questions of what has he given me, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to say, everyone in this room, God has given you at least one thing to use for other people. So because he's done that, you have a responsibility to know what it is and how to use it for his glory. Amen? So one reason it's important is God entrusts you with specific talents and abilities. The second reason is that God is going to hold you accountable to what he's given you. God is going to hold you accountable to what he's given you. In the story that Jesus tells, he says, now after a long time, the master of these servants came back and settled accounts with them. In other words, he said, the master gave him something to use, and he came back and said, how'd you use it? How'd you use it? Excuse me, I'm getting something caught in my throat. I didn't know Dan and Kay were going to be here. Dan and Kay, we just raise your hands real quick. Dan and Kay, we need to give them, they work for our denomination. They help us out a lot, so just welcome them here. But yesterday I met with Dan and a couple other people, and what they did is said, you know, John, to help start Edgewater, we gave you an X amount of money. And it was time to say, okay, how have you used that money? It was accountability, and it's appropriate because that money was given to us as a church to use for God's purposes, and they want to know, was it used well? And God is going to do the same thing what he's given you. He's given you at least one thing, and at the end of your life, he's going to say, well, what did you do with it? He's going to hold you accountable. So I'm going to tell you that on one hand, the carrot that God entrusts you with something, but also the stick, God's going to hold you accountable to what he's given you. So it's really important for, wow, that's what a wife is for. Thank you, Becky. That's great. No, that was bad. That was bad. Wives are for much more than that. But I appreciate what she just did. Thank you, Becky. Well, no, I know. I'm in trouble when I get home. Uh-oh, watch out. Thank you, sweetheart. But you're going to be held accountable to what he's been giving you. Now, there's all kinds of things that God has given you. We're going to focus this morning specifically on a thing called spiritual gifts. Because God has given each of you a spiritual gift. And there are different types of spiritual gifts. And in your outline, I listed several areas in the Bible, if you wanted to read about them, several scripture passages where you can read more about them. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each of the spiritual gifts that are talked about in the Bible. And as I go through them, I'm going to describe them. I want you to circle the ones that you think, you know, I wonder if God gave me this gift. I wonder if this is what God has given me. And we'll go through them together that way. Now, typically, there's several gifts, but typically they get grouped in three categories. There's the love gifts, the power gifts, and the word gifts. I want to talk about the love gifts first. So we'll talk about the love gifts. These are the gifts, if you have these, you just have a real heart for people, and you just love to serve them, often behind the scenes. So let's first talk about governments. Governments is like a big administrative gift. You're the kind of person, if you have a gift of governance that God's given you, you can take a messy situation and get it really organized. And you love it. You have these administrative skills. You take all these chaotic elements and say, you know what? I'm going to put this together in a system that helps people, that helps the church. That's not me. I'm the dreamer. I'm the one that makes the mess. And I need people who have this gift to help me because I need people to bring things together and make a system out of it. You really love to admin. You love systems. You put things together. Some of you have the gift, the God's gift of giving. You are extremely generous. You just think, you know what? God has given me money, and I love to give it away for his purposes. You're the people who are always, you guys know how to make money in really creative ways. And you use that money to help and serve people. Some of you have the gift of generosity, of giving. Is anyone circling that one? Just curious. Just kidding. Okay. Some of you have the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. There are people in our society that everyone judges, that condemns, that thinks, oh, they should be more responsible. You're the one that comes along and says, I have compassion on that person. I really care how they're doing. And you have compassion on people like no one can believe. And you have the gift of mercy. I think my wife has that gift. Sorry to point you out there. And she gets me cups of water. It's wonderful. Some of you have the gift of helps. You're the kind of person that when you see a need, you just help right away. Now, I'm not going to call anyone out on this one, but there are times when we set up for church in the morning before most of you get here where someone will come up to me and say, hey, John, someone spilled coffee. And before I can even think of what to do, there's people in the church that will just run and start cleaning it up because they have the gifts of helps. They just see a need and they love to help. You might have that gift. It's the gift of helps. Some of you have the gift of pastoring. You really care for people, and you're good sitting down with them, especially one-on-one, hearing their issues and just caring for them. And you have the gift of pastoring. Those are called the love gifts. Now, out of curiosity, do any of you identify with some of the love gifts? Go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, great. We need you. God has given you something to serve people. We're glad you're here. The second group of gifts is often called the power gifts. Now, the power gifts are a bit controversial because some churches don't believe they exist. That's not us. Some churches make them the center of their church, and so they go a little crazy and they scare people. Well, that's not us either. We're somewhere in the middle. You know, some people say there's charismatics and there's charismaniacs. We're not charismaniacs, but we are charismatics. We believe in all the spiritual gifts, even the power gifts. And let's talk about some of them. The gift of faith. You see an impossible situation, and you believe that God is going to come through. That's you. You're the kind of person, you know, someone will go, oh, I don't know how this is going to happen. You say, God cares for you. He's going to come through because you have the gift of faith. Others of you have the gift of knowledge, the words of knowledge. You're able to talk to someone and hear from God what God might want to say to that person. You know, I think God wants to tell you this. You hear from God. These are called the gift of the word of knowledge. Some of you have the gift of discerning of spirits. Our world is a spiritual world as well as a material world. And there are spirits out there, both good and evil. And some of you can come into a room and you think, I discern there's an evil spirit here or a good spirit, you know, an angel or a demon. You're able to discern that, especially when you're praying for people who've been oppressed by evil spirits. Some of you have the gift of miracles. You pray for amazing things and God answers them. I would love that gift. It's a gift of miracles. Some of you have the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues, there's different forms of this. In the early church, the Spirit came on people, and people spoke in tongues, and they spoke in different languages, and people around them heard them in their own language, and that is how the first church started. There's also praying in tongues. Some of you pray in a language that no one understands. The Bible calls it what angels speak in, and it's not understandable, but it's a way for you to connect with God through the way you pray. We believe in those gifts. Now, one of the things we don't do as much in our service is we don't practice speaking in tongues in our main services. Some churches do. We don't. And here's why. We have such a value on welcoming new people who don't know Jesus in our church that sometimes that gift especially really freaks people out. If you've been in a church that practices that, sometimes it's a really scary thing. And the Bible even says, you know, we want to be practicing the gift of speaking in tongues, but sometimes that gets non-believers really freaked out. So don't necessarily practice those where you're going to freak them out. So we believe in the gift. We talk about it maybe in our prayer groups and our small groups, but we reserve this place as a safe place for all people. Does that make sense? So speaking in tongues. Now, if you speak in tongues, sometimes you need to, you have the gift of interpretation of tongues. You hear someone speaking in tongues and you can interpret what they're saying. Others, you have the gift of healing. You pray for sick people and God heals them. And over again, you tend to pray and God heals them. That's the gift of healing. Some of you have a word of wisdom. You're so connected to God that you see a situation and you just get God's wisdom and you're able to speak into a situation and it's just so wise and it came from God. Others of you have the gift of prophecy. You're able to confront Christians with truth in the Bible that they need to hear. The prophets would always say, this is what God wants you to do, church, and you're not doing it. I need to speak to you as a church. You don't mind confrontation, but it's for the good of the people. Those are some of the power gifts. So if you feel like you have any of those, go ahead and circle the ones you think you might have. And again, just as a raise of hands, how many of you think you have some power gifts that God might have given you? Great. Praise God. Wonderful. We need you. We need you in the church. Some of you have word gifts. Word gifts. And they're called word gifts because you use your words. They often have to do with speaking or talking. One of them is the gift of evangelism. You just have a heart for people who don't know Jesus yet. And when you meet them, you just have a knack of introducing them to Jesus in the way that they understand and respond. You love people who don't know Jesus yet because you want to tell them God's good news. You might have the gift of evangelism. Some of you have the gift of exhortation. You don't mind challenging people. You see where they're going wrong and you see where they need to change, and you do it in such a way that you're able to be upfront, tell the truth, and people still like you afterwards anyway. That's the gift of exhortation. You can tell the truth, but people know that you care about them. They hear it and they respond. Some of you have the gift of teaching. You love to look at the Bible and explain it to people in a way that they can really understand. That's the gift of teaching. Some of you have the gift of apostleship. You like to start things. Now, if you don't guess it, that's one of my gifts. That's why we started Edgewater, is I love to start things. You have a passion for people, and you realize that sometimes starting new ministries really care for God's people. And so that's the gift of apostleship. Some of you have the gift of ruling or leadership. You're able to lead people, gather people around a common cause. You know, someone asked me, well, how do you know you have the gift of leadership? And I say, turn around. Is anyone following you? If they are, you have the gift of leadership. If not, you probably don't. You have a knack of getting people to follow you. They trust you, and they follow you. So again, circle one of those if you feel like you have one of the word gifts. And again, raise your hand if you think you have a word gift. Great, great. Now, some of you didn't raise your hand at all, and you have a gift. I know it. So we're going to talk about how to figure out what your gifts are, what your gifts are. I do want to say really quick that in the fall, we're going to spend 5 or 6 weeks going through this material a little more, because spiritual gifts are one thing God has given you, but he's given you passions, he's given you abilities, he's given you a personality, he's given you experiences, and in the fall, we're going to go through all those to talk about how God has wired you to serve other people. But those are the types of spiritual gifts. So the big question is, how do I discover what God has given me? How do I discover that? God, you say that you've given me something. What is it? And so there's two ways to figure out what God has given you. The first way is this. Ask self-evaluating questions. Ask self-evaluating questions. Galatians 6:4 says it this way. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. In other words, explore how God has wired you and the work that God's given you, and then sink yourself into that. Here are a couple examples of self-evaluating questions. Here's one. Where have I seen results in my life that other people have confirmed? Where have I seen results in my life that other people have confirmed? In other words, where have you done something where people have come up to you and said, you know what? I think God's given you a gift in that area, or I think you have a special talent in that area. That's one way of finding out what God has given you. When I was about 19 or 20, I was part of a Christian club on my college campus, and every week we would have full-time ministers preach the word to us. But during the summer, all the full-time ministers went away. I don't know what they did, but they let the students take over. And so one week during the summer, someone asked, hey, John, would you give the message this week? And it was my first time, like, sure, and I had no idea what I was doing, and I got up there and gave the message. As soon as I got up, I thought, oh boy, I already know this is not going anywhere. And I kind of fumbled through. I ended, I sat down. I'm like, oh, I want to get out of this room as quick as possible. That flopped. And then afterwards, a few people came up to me and said, John, that was really powerful. The Holy Spirit really convicted me there. I'm like, really? And since then, I've gotten that kind of feedback and realized perhaps God has given me the gift of teaching. And so my responsibility is to say, God, how do I use that for your purposes? The point is, you guys need to be trying things and then be listening for feedback. Sometimes we want to have a spiritual gift we don't have, and we just kind of fool ourselves. So, you know, if you think you have a spiritual gift, go ahead and try it. But if you're not hearing people's feedback, then perhaps it's not your spiritual gift. On the other hand, when you continue to hear feedback on the same things, you want to take hold of that and say, thank you, God, for giving that to me. I want to use it well for your purposes. Make sense? So you want to ask self-evaluating questions. What are the results that I've seen? Another good question to ask is, what do I really enjoy doing the most? What do I just really love to do? Here's the crazy thing. God has not only entrusted you with spiritual gifts, but he's wired it so that you actually enjoy it. You're going to be using your gifts and think, I love doing this. I really get a kick out of doing this. One of my favorite movie scenes about this is from the movie Chariots of Fire, which is kind of getting old right now. It's a 1981 flick. But it's a guy, his name is Eric Liddell. He's a runner. He was a missionary to China. But before he was a missionary, he was also a runner in the Olympics. And the movie describes this tension he feels between going to the mission field or spending time in the Olympics. And he realizes that God has given him joy and pleasure in what he does. So we're going to show this clip right now from Chariots of Fire.
The final 400 meters. Taylor, États-Unis, numéro 278.
Good luck. Don't expect I'll see you till after the race. What's the deal with this guy Little, coach? He a problem?
No problem. He's a flyer. He's had two races today already. He'll die. Just swing along, you guys, and wait. After 300 meters, rigor mortis sets in. You'll pull him in on a rope.
Johnson, Canada, number 400.
Good luck, Taylor. Watch out for a Little. Coach says no problem. He's got something to prove, something personal. Something guys like Coach will never understand in a million years.
USA! Says in the old book, he that honors me, I will honor. Good luck, Jackson Schultz. So where does the power come from? To see the race to its end from within. I believe God made me for a purpose. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure.
You'll have to rent the movie to watch the rest. The best line from that movie is when Eric Liddell says, I believe God created me for a purpose. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. So the question for you is, what is it that when you do, you feel his pleasure? What gift has God given you that when you practice it, you feel his pleasure? Now, for him, it was running, it was an ability, but right now we're talking about spiritual gifts. What spiritual gift is you're practicing? Do you feel his pleasure? Like, I feel like God's hand is on me when I do this. That's the second self-evaluating question you want to ask. Ask self-evaluating questions. One is, where have I seen results? And what do I really enjoy doing? Now, some of you are thinking, gosh, I still don't know what God's given me. Some of you actually have an idea. For those of you who have an idea, can you just do me a favor? On the back of your connection card, just somewhere, write a gift or two, a spiritual gift or two you think God has given you. That's just good for me to know as the pastor. What are some things you think God has given you? Just take a moment to fill that out as we continue. There's another way to discover what God has given you, and for this, actually, I'll say the point, and then I'll do the illustration. The second way to find out is to volunteer for many opportunities, but try one opportunity at a time. Volunteer for many opportunities, but try one opportunity at a time. And for this one to illustrate, I asked Jared. Jared, why don't you come up just for a sec? We're going to do a little exercise here. I'm going to send Jared out of the room in a second. But just so you know who he is, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to send Jared out where he can't hear us, so find a place you can't hear us. In fact, we might have someone go out with him. Well, we'll figure it out. And what we're going to do when Jared is gone, we're going to hide something. We'll find something. We're going to hide something in this room. And when Jared comes back, he has to find it. But the only thing we can do to direct him is clap. And when he is far away from the object he's trying to find, we clap very lightly and very slowly. When he gets closer, we clap louder and more quickly. Make sense? And so our goal is to help him find what we're going to hide, but all he has to go on is our clapping. Okay, Jared, you need to go somewhere and well, you can't hear me.
I'll just go right out front the door.
Hey, you can go ahead and get Jared. All right, let's welcome Jared. Well, don't clap because that will throw him off. Hi, Jared. Okay, Jared, we have hidden a blue roll of tape somewhere in this room. Our only hint is clapping. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Jared. Well done, well done.
I needed one of these.
All right. Now, let's use this as an illustration. Let's just pretend Jared is trying to find a spiritual gift. But he has no idea what it is. What helped him this exercise? What helped him? Okay, good. What did he have to do that helped him? He had to listen. Good. What else did he have to do?
Look.
Good. What else did he have to do? Yeah, he had to go different. He had to try different things, right? Great. That's the main thing is if you have no idea what God has given you, try many things. Try many things, volunteer in many areas, and listen for God's voice as you're doing that. Jared would have never found the blue tape if he just sat down. It would have gotten him nowhere. Sometimes we think, oh, we don't have anything, or we're so insecure that all we're doing is sitting down, and we never try things, and we miss out on discovering what God has given us. Try many things. But the other thing that Jared could have done that he didn't that would have really messed him up is if he tried lots of things at the same time. Can you imagine if he ran up there, then ran over there, then jumped over here? He would have never found the tape. He had to focus on one thing at a time. So if you notice, as you walk close to me, he kind of leaned towards me to see if this was it. It wasn't. That didn't work. Then he went behind the stage. That didn't work. But finally, he got led to the right thing. So you want to try many things, but you don't want to do so many things at once that you're not able to focus. So try many things, but one at a time. And listen for God's voice. See what he has for you. So volunteer, and that's point number two, volunteer for many opportunities, but try one opportunity at a time. Don't assume that you have nothing. Assume that God has given you something. And I would say, just volunteer in different areas and see what God says. Some of you may have a gift of hospitality, and you don't know it. And you need to try greeting people for a while and see how that goes. Some of you have musical gifts, and you're afraid of it. You need to talk to Amy and say, hey, I want to help out. Whatever it is, there's opportunities for you to take risks in what you do and to try those things. If you try something and it doesn't work, don't call it a failure. It was an experiment, right? It wasn't failure for Jared to check out to see if I was hiding the tape. It was an experiment that was needed along the process. Make sense? Try many things, volunteer many things, but try one thing at a time. Okay, the last thing we want to talk about is, how do I help people with what God has given me? So let's say you have a sense as to what God has given you as a spiritual gift. How do you actually help people? Well, from that story that Jesus told, there are four principles that we can talk about. Number one is this: enjoy taking risks. Enjoy taking risks. In other words, with what God has given you, He wants you to have courage with it. He wants you to try things you never would have thought of trying before. In the parable that Jesus tells, He says it this way: the man who received $5,000 began immediately to buy and sell with it and soon earned another $5,000. The man with $2,000 went right off to work too and earned another $2,000. Now, I don't know how many of you are in the financial world, but both these guys made 100% investment. They made 100% on their investments. Would you guys say that's good or bad to double your money? That's really good, right? And actually, I should ask Gretchen to talk about this. This is her. but when you want to make a lot of money and double your money, it also requires a lot of risk, right? Usually you're investing in some risky investments. You don't know which way it's going to go. These guys took what God gave them, and they were incredibly risky with it. And they made money, and God was pleased that they took that risk. So this is a lesson for us, that God has given you something, and He wants you to take a risk. He wants you to be courageous. So if you have the gift of mercy, He wants you to love people you would think you would never love before. If you have the gift of whatever, if you have the gift of giving, He wants you to give more than you could ever think of giving. If you have the gift of evangelism, He wants you to hang out with people who don't know Him, some people that no one else would want to be around. The point is, God wants you to take a risk, and He rewards that. He loves it when you say, God, You've given this to me, and I'm going to go crazy with what You've given me, because I know that that's what You're looking for. He does not want you to play it safe. God wants you to have courage. In fact, He says in Matthew 25:29, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. In other words, God wants you to take so many risks with what you have, and if you do that, He's going to reward that by giving you even more. But if you sit on what God's given you, He'll take it away. So the point is, assess what you have, be faithful to it, and go crazy. You have permission to take risks from God. Try things you'd never try before. And you think, oh, not me. And God's saying, yes, you. Try it. Take a risk. Number two, enjoy your uniqueness. Your uniqueness. Enjoy how you're unique. One of the reasons people bury their gifts and don't use them is because they compare themselves to other people, and they think, I'm not like that person, so I must not have anything. Or you try to conform yourself. Hey, I want to be just like that person. You try, you're being like that person, you're not, and so you think, I'm not going to do anything. Do not compare and say, how come, God, You gave that person that gift and You gave me this gift? God, how come I'm not like that person? If you begin to think that route, you're not going to use what God's given you. You'll sit on the gift and bury it. And the reality is, God gives different things to different people. The Bible says in Matthew 25:15, He gave $5,000 to one, $2,000 to another, and $1,000 to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. So the reality is, I don't have the same gifts as you. You don't have the same gifts as me. But we need each other. We need each other. We make up a family, and together we represent all of the church of Christ's body. And if we start comparing and say, I'm not going to do anything until I'm like that person, we'll never do anything at all. I play piano. I love to play piano. I enjoy playing piano. When people ask me to worship lead, I do awful. I'm not a worship leader. I just don't have the knack of knowing how to play and lead people at the same time. I've made many mistakes trying. Amy and other people in this church do. That's okay. I accept that. There are now and then where I hear people, for example, Becky and I were going to a church many years ago where the pastor was this extremely gifted teacher. And I always thought, God, how come I can't be as gifted as him? And God said, you need to be faithful with what you've got. Don't try to be anyone else. The point is, don't compare, but enjoy your uniqueness. Enjoy your uniqueness and know that God has given you something. And what He's more concerned about isn't how much He's given you, but what you do with what He's given you. And that's where success is. Amen? All right, great. Enjoy your uniqueness. Number three, enjoy the little things. Enjoy the little things. Some of you may be feeling, but God hasn't given me much. And I want to say, who cares? God's given you something. And enjoy the little that He's given you. You want to be faithful with what He's given you. God is giving you small assignments, so He'll know that whether He can trust you with larger assignments. Matthew 25, 21 says, "You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much." In other words, God may be giving you one or two spiritual gifts, and he's just testing the waters to see, are you going to be faithful with those gifts? Are you going to be using them for other people? Are you going to take risks? Are you going to be loving other people? And if you're faithful with those gifts, I'm going to give you even more. I was doing a summer internship in Fresno one summer, and there's this organization called Hope Now for Youth, and they help people who were formerly in gangs get jobs. People who were really stuck in gangs, who want to get out of it, they would get jobs. And this is what they did. They got people in churches who own businesses to hire these people. But they didn't hire them right out. Can you imagine someone who's just coming from a gang working in a corporate office? You know, it wouldn't work that well. So this is what they did. They said, we're going to give you a small assignment first. Show up at a house and do some yard work. And if the person didn't show up, they'd say, okay, we're not giving you the corporate job. But if they did show up, they said, okay, show up again next week. And what they did is they gave these people little assignments, and the more faithful they were with those assignments, the more and more responsibility they would give them. So by the time they got to the corporate job, they had this track record of being faithful to what God had given them. It's the same thing for us. So God might have just given you a little, but the point is not to compare, but to say, I'm going to be faithful with the little things. I'm going to be faithful because if I do that, God's going to reward that and give me more. He's going to trust me with a little, therefore he'll trust me with a lot. Make sense? So be faithful with the little. Does that make sense? All right. I'm not hearing much. Let's say yes really loud just so I feel better. Okay, good. Great. Number four, enjoy celebrating with God. Enjoy celebrating with God. At the end of the parable that Jesus tells, at the end of the story, he says, the master was full of praise. And he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. God was just so happy about the guys who took risks, who enjoyed their uniqueness, who were faithful with the little. He said, just come be with me. Here's the point. No matter how much you do for God, the greatest joy you're going to find is just being in relationship with God. There's a story where Jesus sent out his disciples to do his work for him. The disciples went out and they were doing all kinds of things, miracles, healings, all these things were happening. They came back to Jesus and said, Jesus, you won't believe what we did in your name when we went out. And Jesus said, that's great. But here's what I want you to be really happy about, that your name is written in the book of life, meaning that you are going to celebrate eternity with me. That's where the real joy is. And that's what I want for you. It's all about relationship and celebrating with God. What God really wants from you is a relationship. He's trusted you with some of his gifts. He wants you to be faithful and be accountable, to have joy, to enjoy it. But ultimately, it's all for the reason of being in relationship with him. How do we start off the year right? Well, make God the center of everything. But make sure you're making the most of what God's been giving you. Does that sound good? Be faithful with it. And you won't believe all the things he has in store for you. And I'm a living testimony of learning how to be faithful to the little things and see God give you more and more and more and open up new doors for you. And it's an amazing experience. And in the end, it's all about celebrating with God, enjoying relationship with him. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you've entrusted us with your gifts. And Lord, we want to be faithful. So God, will you help us discover what you've given us? Will you help us use what you've given us for other people in the way you'd want us to? God, help us be people of courage. God, I pray for those right now who have been sitting on their gift, have been bearing it, and now you're saying it's time to get up and to use it for my purposes. God, I pray that you'd give them that courage and that they would not leave today without already making a decision to do that. And God, I pray for those who don't have a relationship with you. We talked about that ultimately it's about relationship. And God, there are some here who have been curious, have been coming regularly, but have not yet said, God, I'm ready to have you in my life. I'm ready to make you the center of my life. And God, I want to pray for those people right now. If you're one of those people, you can ask God to be in your life right now and begin that relationship. And you just need to pray this prayer. So this is you. If you want to start a new relationship with God, just pray this prayer between you and God right now. And it goes like this. God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I admit that I've turned away from you. And God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me, and I ask for your forgiveness. And God, I want to start a new life with you. I ask you to come into my heart, and I commit my life to you. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to say, if you prayed that prayer, a new thing happened for you. The Bible says that you are a new creation. So God, we pray for the people who prayed that prayer, as well as all of us who want to use what you've given us more and more to make you proud. Thank you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's give God a round of applause.